Hello and welcome to the Wellness Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Shannon Spears, and today we are diving deep into the fascinating world of adrenal health. But before we get started, just a quick reminder that the information shared in this episode is for educational purposes only. Always consult with a healthcare professional for personalized advice. All right, now let's jump in. Good morning, ladies. Today we have all of our coaches. We've got Michelle. How are you today, Michelle?
Great. It's a beautiful rainy day in North Carolina.
Kathy, well, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Ready to get this session started.
All right. Jane?
Good morning. I'm so excited to share the information with you all. It's amazing. And I want to share also that I joined a really fantastic women's circle over the weekend. It's been very eye-opening. And pine needle tea rocks. Just saying.
Yes, it does. Awesome, Jane. I'm so happy for you. All right. And then we've got Bobby. How are you today?
I'm good. Finally snowed here. So I was shoveling this morning. So welcome to winter. That's kind of my last few minutes before the podcast. I was shoveling.
That's so crazy to me. We only live like 2 hours from each other. I'm south of you. And it's like, you guys got a ton of snow and we had rain for like 24 hours. It's crazy.
Yeah, we have snow cones on the ground. It was the heaviest snow I think I've shoveled in years. So wow. Kind of glad it's over with.
All right. And Sarah, welcome. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing well, Bobby. I don't think we got as much snow as you here in Michigan. We didn't get that much, but it's still freezing out. So trying to stay warm.
And you're over by the lake, so that's surprising that you don't have as much as Bobby. Although yes.
I know. I think it's coming probably next week.
I'm sure it's supposed to be. Let's see, my birthday is next week and we are trying to, and Kathy's as well for this coming weekend. Supposedly it's supposed to be like 1 degree this weekend. So yes. I'm not looking forward to that. So, all right. Well, understanding adrenal health. Today's topic is from fatigue to vitality, understanding and supporting your adrenals. So let's kick things off by understanding the basics. What exactly are the adrenal glands and what role do they play in our bodies? And what role does things like cortisol function have? Bobby, would you mind taking the wheel this morning and explaining this for our listeners?
Happy to. So if you remember back to your biology class, probably junior year in high school, you're going to be learning a little bit today about your adrenal glands, which any kind of gland is basically a compilation of tissues that have turned into what we call a gland. And your adrenal glands, for those of you who don't know, sit on the top of your kidneys like little hats. And they are a very, very important organ in your body. And a lot of people don't give them a whole lot of credit, nor do they give them a lot of love. I know my adrenal glands are a little bit tanked over these last few days, and I'm going to be diving into my vitamin C here after this podcast. But the adrenal glands are in charge of a lot of different functions in your body. They work amazingly, incredibly connected to the brain. The brain, if you've ever been pulled over, which most people have who drive a car at some point experience being pulled over, and your adrenaline is going to be pumping, and that's coming from your adrenal gland. And they're in charge of also working with metabolization of your fats, proteins, and carbohydrates. They are in charge of your fight or flight response, which is what happens when you get pulled over. So if you think about getting pulled over and getting a speeding ticket or something like that, that's your fight or flight response coming out of you. And it's producing adrenaline to help you basically run from the bear, which unfortunately, when you're getting pulled over, you're not supposed to be running. So your body is experiencing stress, but it doesn't necessarily need to do what it's trying to enact. And what happens with the adrenal glands when it gets the signal from the brain that there's a stressful situation, it produces adrenaline and it produces cortisol. And there's a lot of other things that are going on, a connection, but it's producing those things and it's downregulating your immune system so that you can have use your body for other things than immunity. It's also working on your blood sugar control. So it's pushing out a bunch of sugar out of your liver to help you run from the bear. So the adrenal gland really is kind of modulating so many things in your body, like your blood pressure and different things in your body when it comes to immunity and respiration. And so it's important to give your adrenal glands the love that it needs, especially when you've been stressed out. And the connection between your adrenal glands is with your brain. So a lot of adrenal support has to come from you working on your brain and your connection with your adrenal glands.
And what about the cortisol? So how does your cortisol like function in the body? Like we have adrenaline, right? But what about cortisol?
Cortisol goes up as a part of an adrenal response, as a part of a stress response. And that's what a lot of people don't understand is the people that are living at the higher level of stress continually, whether it's relationship stress or job stress or environmental stress. Let's say you live in a place that environmentally is impacting you and your body is continually in a state of stress, which is a sympathetic dominated type of nervous system. It's pumping out cortisol. And over time, the adrenal glands basically get worn out. They're slowing down. They're running out of that process of being able to produce as much as they can. And the adrenal glands are also where a lot of your neurotransmitters are produced. And so a lot of times when people are struggling with their hormonal regulation, it actually ties back to their adrenal health and their gut health because they're not able to make enough because of the amount of stress that they're under. It's like kind of going, you know, to the well too many times. And eventually, if you're not filling up that well, it's going to be empty. And cortisol actually is something that gets us out of bed in the morning, but it's also something that's doing a lot of other things in the body, like downregulating inflammation and things that you don't want to be having go on when you're stressed out. You want to downregulate a lot of things in your body so that your body can take care of the actual threat that it feels. And unfortunately, cortisol is something that can release so much blood sugar from your liver that you actually can have blood sugar regulation issues. You can get pre-diabetic from it. And it's basically producing what they call fatty liver. And you've got all this sugar going through your body because your body is under so much stress, but your body doesn't necessarily need the sugar to actually execute what's going on because some of it is situational stress, environmental stress, stress with your job and things like that. So what happens is that's when you get the dysregulation in your nervous system and your immune system. You get blood pressure increases because of the different things that the body is doing with the adrenal glands. When they're holding on to salt and you need more water, your blood pressure goes up. So there's a lot of different things regulation-wise when it comes to stress and the adrenal gland that a lot of people don't realize that their big belly that they're gaining as they're stressed out and, you know, things that are happening in their life that they don't understand it ties back to your adrenal health.
Thank you for that great information. I think it's so important for our listeners to really understand the big piece of the play that our adrenals have. You know, they connect to our thyroid, which connects to our hormones. I mean, it just, if we don't have our adrenals, there's a lot of things that don't work in our body. You know, as much as education as I had, you know, I still didn't understand what the connection was as far as cortisol, you know, until I got into it and I experienced it. And then it was like, oh my goodness. And I'm going to share my story a little bit later on, but let's take a few minutes and just let's get down into like the nitty gritty. What are the common signs that our listeners can spot for adrenal fatigue or imbalances that people should be aware of?
One of the things that when I was going through my regenerative training, they gave us some different things that you can check on. And one of the easiest things is to go get your blood pressure checked on both arms. And when there's a sweet spot, and a lot of times people don't realize that low blood pressure, sometimes people think my blood pressure is low. It's not 120 on the top end. And that's actually showing you that you have adrenal weakness when your blood pressure is too low. So if your top number, which is your systolic number, is under 120, that actually is showing that you've got some compression in your body, you've got some wear and tear on your adrenal glands. So that top number wants to be right in the sweet spot of about 120. And then the bottom number, the diastolic number, wants to be somewhere in the between 60 and 70. That's the sweet spot. So that's probably one of the easiest things that somebody can do is to go have their blood pressure checked. You can, you know, if you can't get into the doctor's office or something like that, you can go to like even a grocery store where they have those little machines and do both arms and see, because those are related to your kidneys too. The lower number is related to your kidney health. And so you want to be able to, because you have two kidneys, you want to do both arms because it actually can give you more information about that. Also your sleep wake cycle. If you are, if your sleep wake cycle is off, meaning that you're awake when you should be asleep and sleeping during the day when you should be awake, that is a cortisol and adrenaline and melatonin and a bunch of other hormonal imbalances. And so your circadian rhythm is off. So anytime you've got a wonky day or a wonky night where you're like, wow, I really just slept like, you know what, that's when you kind of need to take a step back and realize that your adrenals are talking to you.
And I'm glad you said about going and getting your blood pressure checked, because so many people now have a device, a watch or something on their arm that they're relying on for that. And I don't know if changing the arm that it's on would make a difference, you know, taking it from both sides of your arm. I don't know if that would make a difference, but it just shows how important it is to not only depend on the technology that you may be wearing all of the time, but to even have a blood pressure machine at home. I mean, they're not that expensive, or $20 or $30, right? And have one at home to be able to do that, especially if you are dealing with a lot of stress or you're starting to notice signs of hormone disruption, adrenal fatigue, and things like that, right? To be able to check that and keep track of it so that when you do go to a doctor, you can say, here's what I've been tracking, here's how I've been feeling, and they have a lot more information.
There are a few things in my notes that I didn't share that I would like to share with you, because I think it's important for people to draw a connection between them. But one particular thing, ADHD or ADD is actually tied to an adrenal weakness. So if you or someone you know has ADHD or suffers from the symptoms of it, one of the things I would highly suggest you do is really look into how do you support your adrenal gland. And we'll talk more about that in this podcast. Other things, like your adrenal has an internal part, a medulla, and an external called a cortex. And they actually work a little bit differently. But when you have an adrenal medulla weakness, you can have issues with tremors and seizures. You can have issues with multiple sclerosis. Asthma is one that I thought was interesting, because there's a lot of people that have asthma and they think a lot of it is a lung issue, which obviously it is part of that. But you need to support your adrenal glands if your issue is asthma. Emphysema, tachycardia, which is higher heart rate, or bradycardia, which is a lower heart rate, because your adrenal glands are really connected to telling your heart how fast to beat. And a lot of times people think it's like you got to go in and do something with the heart if somebody has arrhythmias or issues with their, you know, having PVCs, preventricular contractions in your body. Because I know I had that when my daughter was born. She was a preemie, and feeding her was very, very, very stressful. And I literally would get PVCs when I would go to sit down and feed her. And it was kind of one of those things where you thought I had a heart problem, but actually I just had a worn out adrenal gland. Other issues, panic attacks, blood sugar regulations, anxiety. And then also something that was really interesting to me is a low motivation. Or shyness. If you have somebody that is really, really shy, like painfully shy, that is a big red flag that they need some adrenal support.
That's fantastic, Bobby. I couldn't have said it better myself. But one thing I wanted to add in is the importance of having your blood pressure checked, not only sitting down, but standing up and perhaps laying down as well, to give the true picture of what's going on for you. Oftentimes the patient will come in, like most of us do, a little bit stressed coming into the appointment. So maybe waiting a little bit to have that blood pressure taken, and or doing those positional ways may be more accurate.
I just want to add in here about my blood pressure checking experience. So my blood pressure has always run low. Usually like top number 90 to 100. And I just found it so amusing that most of the conventional doctors that I would go to whether they're a specialist or a family doctor, internist, didn't matter, would congratulate me on my low blood pressure. And I knew, you know, what it was, but it was just, it was kind of comical for me.
So. Yeah. And that's one of those things where when you know what's causing it, is it worth a conversation with your conventional doctor about that? Because are they going to do anything about it? They're sitting there congratulating you for a low blood pressure, but you know it's because you have adrenal fatigue.
Right.
You know,
and I bring it up and they'd say, oh no, congratulations, you're all set. You're good. And I'm picking up good.
Yeah, it's book, that's book for you, book knowledge, right? It's just, I don't know.
And Bobby, what you said about asthma, you know, being one of those potential symptoms for adrenal fatigue, it's actually not surprising to me, because when you look at people who have asthma, like if they are in a high stress situation, that's typically when their asthma kicks in, right? It's not just if they're running and everything. They could be sitting at work and have an asthma attack, but they don't understand the connection of how stressed out were you sitting at your desk because you're trying to hit a deadline or something, and all of a sudden now you've got an asthma attack, but you don't make the connection of why, you know. And once that stress starts going, like you said, it's your body thinks it's running from a bear even though there's no bear around, right? Your body still has that natural instinct of what it's going to do regardless. So I think it's great that you made that point.
I have a question and a comment. Question being is, I heard you say, Bobby, that you were going to go take your vitamin C after we record this session. I've always thought as of, you know, the Soleil, having your minerals, your Himalayan salt or Celtic sea salt with water to support your adrenals or, you know, your liver. So I was really surprised that you said vitamin C. And then another thing I wanted to add real quick after you when you answer that, is a blood pressure cuff. A lot of times you can get them with your HSA money or what have you. And if you go to the grocery store, they're set up only to do one side, you know, or the other. You can't really turn around and do the other side. So having one at home would probably be the best method to check both sides. So please let me know about more about your vitamin C versus the salt.
Oh, I think the salt is a big part of it, 100%. So I agree with that. I especially think that people need to be aware that, you know, salt has been made the villain, and you know, picking up a regular salt shaker with the
iodine,
iodine and all that, mm-hmm. and people who salt their food before they even taste it, those are things you want to stay away from. But the salts, like the Celtic salt and the Himalayan salt that have the minerals in the salt, those are excellent, because one of the things that happens when we're so stressed out is our body is gobbling up the magnesium and the electrolytes to actually build the hormones and things like that. And so when it's like, especially magnesium, when it's on fire, when your system's on fire and it's like losing a lot of minerals, there's just a little crack of sea salt over your water in the morning is a great way to do it. And the vitamin C is part of the antioxidant. It's just bringing in that piece to the puzzle that your body is so desperately needing, which is just more ways to get rid of the oxidation. Because what oxidation is just wear and tear on the body. And if you don't have enough hydrogen to replace and kind of neutralize all of the oxidative stress, that's when aging occurs. That's when tissue breakdown occurs. That's when disease occurs and cancer. So I agree with you. And I love that you said about taking your blood pressure at home, because a lot, like Jane, like you said, a lot of people have white coat syndrome. They go into the office and bam, their blood pressure goes through the roof. And that is up here, right? But if you can be in your home and relax and take your blood pressure sitting down. And I love that you said positionally, because people can have the orthostatic blood pressure issues. One of the big telltale signs, if you're laying down and you get up quickly and you get that like, whoa, I'm going to go down, I've got that blackout thing, that's an adrenal issue. That is your body saying you're moving way too fast for the ability for me as your adrenal gland to be able to support your blood pressure. Or if you lean over, things like that. So keep those things in mind when you're kind of figuring out too, like Shannon said, if you're at your desk and you're having an asthma attack, you got to draw the line. You got to connect the dots and say like, what was it that happened two minutes ago, what is it that's put me in a state that my body is literally constricting, you know, and try to figure those things out.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, what I do is because I've got adrenal fatigue still not as bad as it was probably 5 or 6 years ago. But one thing that I do is I automatically reach for my vitamin C, whether it's the liposomal vitamin C or a camo powder that I have. And I immediately take it, a little water if it's the camo powder. And then I sprinkle the Celtic salt. I'll take a little pinch of the Celtic sea salt and sprinkle it right on my tongue and let it sit there and let it dissolve. And, you know, if I'm just feeling blah during the day or my energy's run out and, you know, and say it's only 10 o'clock in the morning or it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I've had my vitamins and it's like, this doesn't make sense. Right. Like just grabbing that. And I really noticed I had suspicions that my daughter had adrenal fatigue. She's been through a lot of trauma and she would do just that, Bobby. She would, when she would get up too quick, the room just started spinning. And of course that can also be an iron issue, right? If you're low in iron. But judging by like obviously being able to watch her every day and see her, it was like, okay, it could be iron. So we're going to, you know, give her an iron supplement. And after a week or so, she was still having some of the issues. So now she's gotten to the point where I didn't even have to tell her, just from what I've educated her with, she started reaching for the salt and her body has been craving salt. And so now like I'll see her 4 or 5 times a day going into the little container of Celtic sea salt and reaching in and getting some and sprinkling on her tongue. And since she's been doing that, she hasn't had those issues. She can stand up. She's not having a problem. And so that was like, okay, that's what it was. So, and I think, you know, we share these things with our audience because there are some of these things that you can do at home. You can try yourself to kind of say, kind of narrow it down going, okay, is this something that's really, really concerning? Or is this something I can fix with food or an herb or a supplement, you know, just to really help my body understand or transition from one thing to another. So let's talk about some real life examples and some scenarios so that we can help our audience relate more to these adrenal health issues. Michelle, would you like to start? Because I know, like me, this is your wheelhouse for sure, as far as experience.
For sure. Life experience. There's nothing like life experience, for sure.
Agreed.
Right. So yeah, I went through my own scenario of adrenal fatigue. Off and on, I have had adrenal fatigue for a good chunk of my life. I've had, you know, I've lived on and off a stressful life here and there. And it's just, it definitely comes up when you are under high amounts of stress. And that is definitely my big adrenal fatigue story. Now, technically, the scientific term is called hypoandrenia. You will not get very far when you go to your doctor and say, I think I have adrenal fatigue. So we will get into that more in detail. But it just essentially means that there's a deficiency in the adrenals in how they are functioning, basically how they're working. So I found out when I went through my severe bout of adrenal fatigue that there are 3 stages of adrenal fatigue. And I was at the lowest end of that hypoandrenia/adrenal fatigue. And so they were really concerned that I had Addison's disease. And Addison's is generally rare, but it will mean that your adrenals have stopped functioning at the rate, at the level that they're supposed to be functioning. So you will need to take a cortisone steroid type drug for the rest of your life, just to kind of help those adrenals function properly. So that just sets the stage to show you how bad it had gotten for me. And the catalyst for me was I had gone through a 3-year-plus season of where I was in that fight or flight or freeze, right? Like Bobby was talking about. I was having stress at my job. I was having stress at home. Like it was a perfect storm. Like there was no rest. There was not a lot of downtime, a lot of rest time emotionally. Okay. So I was really being depleted. My cortisol was being depleted. My adrenals were constantly on high alert. So it got to the point where my body started screaming at me because, you know, even though during this time I was doing these little modalities to help support my adrenals, I also didn't know what I didn't know. I was in denial, to be quite honest, that it was as severe as it was. Because what do we do as women? We push through, right? We just keep on going and we feel like, okay, if I get to bed sooner, then I'll be better the next day. But that is not how the adrenals work when you are constantly in that fight, flight, or freeze state and you're constantly being depleted. So at my worst, I would have to take 3 naps a day. And I wouldn't always sleep for 2 of those naps, but I would have to lay down. There was always 1 nap that I slept for an hour. And, you know, I kept pushing myself even through this. Like, it's so funny because looking back, I would do things totally different. So don't do what I did. But I kept pushing, you know, because I had a job to do. I had a family to take care of. I had a business I was building, like all of these things. And, you know, God was telling me, like, look, you need to stop. You need to rest. And I would for a little bit, but it was never enough. You know how we do that with ourselves. So at the worst, I was taking 3 naps a day. And when I would stand up to cook, I could only stand at the stove for maybe 15 minutes before I'd have to go lay down, turn everything off, go lay down on the couch for about 20 minutes. And then I was able to go through my deep breathing and just kind of help my nervous system to self-regulate. But I definitely had a lot of symptoms that we have talked about. Like, I had extremely low blood pressure. I know at one point my blood pressure was 80 over 58. And I've always been told I had low blood pressure. You know, like, it's just, that's just how your body is. But when it got even lower than my low, you know, it still wasn't a red flag, you know, to the practitioners. So I really thought that that was normal, even though I knew that the adrenals were needing some help. So you kind of know your own body, but then you also know when something's not right. So basically, severe jumpiness, I was super jumpy. I had heart palpitations like crazy. So I actually was concerned enough that I thought it was my heart at one time, even knowing that I was going through adrenal, you know, dysregulation and deficiency. I started really thinking it was my heart. So I had an EKG done at my office that I worked at and just to rule it out. And of course, my heart was fine. And I think one of the worst symptoms that I had was like kind of that constant rushing sound in my ears, where I just really, it was just so interesting because you felt like you were going to faint, you know, but you also had your heart palpitations and you were really dizzy. But you had this constant like sound of rushing water in your ears. It was very bizarre. And then I also had a Dutch done, which I'm sure Shannon will talk about as well, a Dutch test to determine that, yep, sure enough, my hormones were lower than the lowest they could be, especially my cortisol was completely depleted. So going through that, learning and living through that experience with adrenal fatigue, that is why I have such a desire to help other women with adrenal fatigue conditions or just fatigue conditions, regardless of its adrenal chronic, you know, general tiredness, because oftentimes those symptoms are so overlooked. And so I did create a free resource that's on my website, Foggy and Fatigue Freedom on my website, Treasured Wellness, because it's so important. And it's got the great tip that Bobby and Kathy, you were sharing about using the salt, the Celtic salt, with the vitamin C. And I created a tonic drink based off of some other recipes I had seen. I just kind of created one that worked better for me. So yeah, it's a story. And once you live through it, you'll never forget it. And you will do everything you can to support your adrenals, support your body so that you don't have to go through that again, because it's no joke.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, and I've used that tonic before because, you know, when I've had a couple of weeks where I was like, okay, we're not doing well. And you're like, all right, come on, make this, drink it twice a day, let's go. That's what I love about you guys. So when I went through my adrenal fatigue, it was before I had met any of you. It's probably 9 years ago, approximately, because around the same time my husband started his own business and bought his own truck. So I was in kind of like that prime of my life. My husband is a bodybuilder. He loves working out in the gym. That comes from the military. And so he finally got me out to the gym. And that was, we were going through a lot of trauma in our house, a lot of stress, high stress. And this was a way for me to really release all of that stress and be able to, what I thought was calming my system down, just kind of releasing all that buildup. And so I probably went 8 months or so working out, and I was in the gym with him for 2 hours almost every day. And I loved it. It became like a rush for me, you know, and just a way, I mean, I could listen to music, I'd let everything go and just work on my body. And then one morning I woke up and I couldn't get out of bed. And I was like, okay, I just need to take a break from the gym. And so instead of going every day, you know, it would be like twice a week. And then I found that I struggled with that. Okay, well, maybe it's what I'm eating. Maybe I'm not getting enough protein. Maybe I'm not, you know, and so I started going that route. Still had multiple days I struggled to get out of bed. And then I talked with a friend of mine who's an herbalist, and she was like, you know, it sounds like you have adrenal fatigue. And instead of explaining adrenal fatigue to me, she just gave me an adrenal supplement, which definitely helped. I'd take it as soon as I opened my eyes in the morning before I even moved out of bed. I had it sit next to my bed, glass of water, and I would take capsules. And then within 20 minutes, I could get up out of bed, right? But then throughout the day, as we know, because our adrenals are on like up and down, right? I would get these periods of, like you, Michelle, like I had to take a nap. I felt like I had to take a nap. And it's really hard, especially in a marriage, if you don't understand what's going on and you think it's just being tired. And maybe, you know, you're also thinking, but I didn't do a whole lot, so how can I be tired? And your spouse is also going, why are you taking two naps in the middle of the day? I don't understand what's going on with you, you know? And then they look at it, a lot of times we'll look at it like depression, right? You know, you've got depression going on, which of course comes along with that, you know? And so when I finally did some research and started reaching out to more people, found out, holy crap, you are in adrenal fatigue, like big time. And there's no wonder why, because of the stress and trauma that the whole family's been going through. And of course, as a mom, what does my thought process go to? What if the kids have this too? They're dealing with this too. And my focus goes toward not me, my kids. So again, still not taking care of myself, right? And so it wasn't until I got into, you know, working with them, and our pediatrician noticed it too. I was really good friends with him. And so I was talking with him that I finally understood everything that was going on and finally started taking care of myself and got myself out of that. It wasn't at that time that I did a Dutch test, because I didn't know about a Dutch test at that time. Conventional doctors weren't telling me about a Dutch test or anything. And they were all telling me, it's okay, just take more naps. You just need to eat better. You just need to, you know, this and that. And I'm like, I've done all that. That's not helping, you know, which is why I reached out to, you know, friends who were herbalists. So I thought I was through it, started getting through it. And then a couple of years ago, 4 years ago, exactly, I started having fatigue again, thought I was going back into adrenal fatigue. I wasn't. I actually had H. pylori and was also pregnant with twins at the time. So, and I ended up in a miscarriage because of the H. pylori. I didn't know I had it until a test came back literally 4 days after I had miscarried. And it doesn't, what that does is when you have H. pylori, you don't have the ability, your body doesn't produce progesterone to actually keep the baby. So, obviously that throws me into trauma again. Right. And so if I didn't have adrenal fatigue coming back, I certainly did after that. But this time I was prepared. And so I ended up doing what I could, and probably 9 months later, because I couldn't do it right after having a miscarriage, 9 months later, I decided to do a Dutch test and really get a big profile of my hormones. And it took me, it was funny because I ordered the test, but it took me another 4 months or so to actually take the test, because I was afraid of what it was going to show, you know? And so I did it. And when it came back, I did the Dutch Plus, and it checks your cortisol levels along with your hormone levels. And my adrenals were suffering. And even as a cycling 46-year-old, you know, my hormones looked like I was someone who had been in menopause for 30 years, you know? So, I mean, in my pathways for detoxing and getting rid of extra estrogen, they're not completely open, you know? So all of these things work together, and all of these things are stressing your adrenals. So this is really that where you can take that example of your body, your natural human physiology in your body is, your adrenals are running because they think you're being chased by a bear, but you're not being chased by a bear. They're just going and going, going. And this is a perfect example. Like, I was trying to take care of it. I was reducing my stress level. I had grieved through my miscarriage, like all of those different things. But even a year later, my body was still holding on to a lot of that trauma and stress. And so my adrenals 24/7 are thinking I'm still being chased by a bear. So it's really, really important for our audience to understand how this is so connected and why stress is the number one thing that you need to reduce in your body, and the perception of your stress and dealing with old traumas, getting them out, getting them, you know, through whatever, however, or whatever therapy you need to do that with, that works for you.
Yeah, that's definitely a quite a powerful testament to just trying things, listening to your body and everything, and get connected. All the body systems are connected, right? So what affects one will certainly affect another, maybe not so much right away, but you can be sure it's going to happen right, you know, down the line. So it's really important to try to address something earlier on if you can.
Yeah. And I think that's an important point you just made, Jane, right? Is that, you know, we have college students who are stressing out in college and trying to get their finals done and get really good grades in college and everything. And all of a sudden in their late 20s, early 30s, they experience things like adrenal fatigue or chronic fatigue. And they don't understand where it came from. Like, it just came out of nowhere. It didn't come out of nowhere. More than likely, most of the clients that I have had that have experienced, you know, stress in college and everything and had chronic fatigue or adrenal fatigue later on, that's where we've been able to trace it back to. That's when it started. Their body has been running from a bear ever since they were in college, cramming and whether it's going out and partying and drinking and all of that, just all of these things that happened in college, like, it was still affecting them. So I'm glad you brought that up.
I wanted to hop on and say about that Michelle brought up was the whooshing in the ears, tinnitus, however way you want to say it, ringing in the ears is actually not 100%. But your medulla, the inner part of your adrenal gland, when that is damaged, you actually can have tinnitus. And so that's one of those things, like you said, Shannon, if you've got kids, you've got younger kids, you've got high schoolers and college kids and things like that, listen to the things that they're telling you, like, Mom, I'm having this, Mom, I'm having that. Because once someone's getting tinnitus, they're actually pretty far down the path of having adrenal issues. Maybe not the fatigue, deep fatigue part of it, but I hate the word damage, but it's basically damage. They're stressed out. Their adrenal glands are stressed out. And when a mama building a baby is stressed out because she's got stress in her life, whether it's little babies at home while she's building her baby, or things going on in her environment, that is actually transferred over to the fetus. So if anybody listening to podcasts takes one thing away from this, is that we have to pay attention to the stress that we're under, because it will take us down. And unfortunately, it takes us down sometimes really quickly. And people say, oh, you know, I was fine one day and not the next. And it typically is something that's been building for a long period of time. So you kind of have to pay attention to that and really focus in on that. When you're building your care plan, it needs to have stress reduction and stress perception and self-care toolbox kind of things involved with it.
Yeah, agreed. And like you said, like, you know, Michelle says the whooshing of the ears, and a lot of people, when they say think of tinnitus, they think of ringing in the ears, or like just this odd sound that continues, right? But it can be different for everybody. And for me, it's like everything is in an echo. it's like a whoosh, but an echo. And so when I have that, I know something's going on. My adrenals, you know, need support and everything. And that comes and goes, you know, so I have good days and bad days even now, like, because I'm still working on my hormones and trying to balance adrenals and balance hormones and all of this, you know, so it's those good days and bad days for sure. And so just knowing what is going on with you, what the difference could be for you than somebody else. And that's what I think a conventional medicine doesn't take into effect, is that they have this in the box symptom that tinnitus is just a ringing, but tinnitus doesn't necessarily mean just a ringing. It can mean other things to different people, you know, and tinnitus isn't always, like you said, Bobby, it's not always damage to an eardrum necessarily, right? It's other signals from the body that are going on. It's just part of all of these symptoms, and symptoms are just signals. The body says there's something wrong.
Inflammation. You know, yes. We have inflammatory things going on that, we need to step back and de-stress, you know, like we've been saying, you know.
Insight so far, everyone. Now I want to explore the causes and the impacts of stress on our adrenal glands a little bit more. Kathy, can you take a minute and enlighten us on how stress, both acute and chronic, impacts these vital glands of ours?
Well, I think what we've covered so far is almost, we've kind of almost exhausted it, but I will step through this a little bit. An acute stress response, we've talked about the fight or flight. So that's something that, you know, will happen acutely. It's going to happen in the moment, you know, it's not a long-term type of thing. So the adrenal glands are going to release adrenaline, like Bobby was saying, and get you ready for that fight. That's going to increase your heart rate and your blood pressure, and you're just ready to take on the bear at that point, or run like hell. But chronic, you know, is those long-term things. And one of the things I was thinking about as we were discussing this is I would venture to say that the percentage of men to women who have adrenal fatigue is 90% women. I don't have that statistic in front of me, but I'm just taking a wild guess, because we just keep pushing on, and it just seems like we take on so much. So the chronic stress, like we said, you know, it can be financial, it can be environmental, it can be job related, your kids, you know, I mean, there's so much that we manage, and sometimes we don't manage it well. So cortisol is, again, you know, is elevated, giving you that tummy, you know, it's going to put the weight on the tummy. So that's another indication that you have too much cortisol pumping through your system. And all the other things that we've talked about, you know, the heart rate, trying to get up and being overly exhausted. So we have to take a look at that and take care of ourselves. I think that's a huge, huge factor. Also, it's going to affect your heart, like y'all were saying, you know, with the irregular heartbeats and thinking that you've got something wrong with your heart. So I think that's going to be a huge factor. So if you have any of these signs, symptoms going on, you know, take a look at your stress levels and see if you can rein some of that in. Do some meditation, even just going for a walk, getting out and taking care of yourself in a gentle way. And trying some of these ideas that we have shared with you to manage your stress and adrenal and cortisol levels.
I think you made a good point about men versus women, right? Because, and my theory on that, I haven't done deep research on it, right? Like I said, I don't have the statistics in front of me. But when we look at women and we look at men, like you said, women are more emotional and we have a different set of hormones that are prevalent because we are emotional, whereas men, they're not genetically made up to be emotional, right? They're meant to be the hunter and the gatherer, right? So they have a different ratio, mainly more testosterone up front than a woman would have. And so my theory is that because the different hormones that the adrenals affect, right, is the reason why we see it more in women than we do in men. And it all boils down to that, just a 360 of the hormones that it's triggering in the body, the hormones that our brain is triggering and everything because of our emotions, you know, rather than that logical thinking that men seem to have more of. And, you know, you're right when it comes to like the PVCs and the heart things, right? I have a heart issue, Yeah, I had surgery for it when I was 18, supraventricular tachycardia. It's called SVTs. And so for me, I didn't even think about it being adrenals when my heart was racing because I was so used to dealing with that if I did any type of intense exercise and things like that, or if I was stressed. It was just normal for me. So, but had it not been normal, that would have been one of my key things. I was like, hey, wait a minute, something's going on here, you know? So, all right, Sarah, how about we go to you? How about you dive into some lifestyle factors that contribute to adrenal dysfunction? And then lead us through a little bit of how listeners can address these factors in their daily lives.
Sure. Okay, the big one, as we all know from listening to all of us talk, chronic stress. Chronic stress has to be dealt with. You need to come up with some good stress management techniques. So meditation is a great one, yoga, deep breathing, breath work. There's so many different types of breath work that you can work on. Yoga, like I said, also just anything that helps you relax. So maybe you like sitting with a cup of herbal tea, listening to soothing music. Maybe you like reading a good fiction book, right? Something to kind of forget your life and your stresses and just lose yourself in a story. Maybe it's a favorite show that's relaxing, hopefully not stressful ones like I'm sure all our husbands like to watch. But so stress is key there. Lack of adequate and quality sleep. Now, this is something I really learned in the last few years. My sleep wasn't the greatest. And when I committed to a consistent sleep schedule, made my bedroom clutter-free, comfortable, had a relaxing bedtime routine, like to have my herbal tea before bed, and quieted myself down ahead of time. That was key. And you really do notice, I mean, sleep is a non-negotiable in my book now. Food choices, focus on whole foods. Of course, you want to avoid the processed foods. Those have lots of chemicals. Sugar, limit your sugar, limit your caffeine, and organic. Organic food is going to be key because non-organic has toxins, right? Toxins are connected to stress in the body. So it all kind of comes around. Overexertion is another one. As Shannon mentioned, going to the gym consistently, not giving your body a break, that's going to cause stress in the body and lead to, obviously, adrenal issues. Inadequate water intake is another good one. And not just water intake, but a good quality water. So if you don't have a water filter, maybe have your water tested or invest in a good filter. That's going to make a huge difference in your stress on your body. Difficulties with social connections. So we all need those good friends and family members that we can go to talk about our stress with, right? If we have bad relationships in our life, you know, that's going to cause stress. And I highly recommend if you have toxic people in your life, that's affecting your health. Maybe it's time in 2024 to let those people go. What's another one? Oh, and also if you need to see a professional, whether it's a therapist, a good life coach, I know someone who sees an amazing life coach and it's totally transformed their life. Definitely do that. And environmental toxins, I mentioned in food and water, but they're also in the air we breathe, they're in, you know, lotions and things, makeup, things that we put on our body. Those are all stressors on the body. So all these things contribute overall. And lastly, work-life balance. So if you don't have good boundaries set for your work and your personal life, that's going to lead to stress. So overall, this is all about stress, right? And what different parts of your life, physically, emotionally, can all contribute to stress in the body. So you want to look at all these different areas and maybe make a list of things you can do to improve each area of your life so your stress is reduced.
Good tips. Thank you, Sarah. Jane, did you want to dive in a little bit more on some nutrition for the adrenals?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't stress enough how important nutrition is in terms of adrenal health. So you want to start incorporating more leafy greens, like Sarah said, organic if possible, cruciferous vegetables, nuts and seeds. You want to have the lean meats, broccoli, cauliflower. Let's see, healthy fats are really important because your brain is actually made out of fat. So you want to do avocado, nuts and seeds, like I was mentioning earlier. So you really want to, on the flip side, you want to avoid the foods that are going to worsen adrenal fatigue. So like Sarah said, that refined sugar is a big one. Unhealthy fats, you know, Crisco or something like that. You try to want to avoid that. And staying hydrated, consuming a well-balanced diet, fruits, veggies, whole grains, lentils, nuts, seeds, lean proteins, like I was mentioning before. I cannot stress enough how that will impact your stress because you're more fortified to handle these type of stressors. And so your adrenals can take a rest for a little while.
Agreed. Nutrition is so, so important. And, you know, it can be really hard, especially for parents. Like if you have little kids at home and you have, you know, the pantry full of the Goldfish crackers or the peanut butter, like all of these different things, right? It's so easy for us moms to just grab something quick and go, and we're trying to give the kids a snack, but we haven't even eaten breakfast and it's after lunch. We ate a little nibble off of their plates for lunch and everything, right? We're just kind of grabbing and going. And nutrition is so important for a mom. Like I see so many moms that are focused on nutrition for their kids, and then we give their kids a healthy, balanced diet and healthy, balanced meals, right? But then you ask them what they had for lunch or breakfast, and they don't have an answer, or it's, I just grabbed a little bit off the kids' plates while I was, you know, that in itself can lead you to adrenal fatigue because your body has got to have the nutrients. It's really essentially where adrenal fatigue comes from, the stress factor mixed with your body doesn't have enough nutrients in it to effectively fight back and lower those stress levels. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to circle back a little bit, if I may. In terms of the moms, you know, we have a really huge shoes to fill, right? Dads too, of course. I think it's well worth taking the time to prep those meals. That way, not only your kids are having them, but you're having them right along with them.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about lifestyle changes. Lifestyle changes are often key. We've talked a little bit about them. But are there any other additional lifestyle challenges, changes, strategies, anything like that, that our audience can take? Bobby?
I'm excited to share a lot of this stuff. This is like my sweet spot with behavioral change with coaching. And it's one of the things that when somebody coaches with any of us, we work with them on what's your lifestyle like, because you can eat all of the right things, drink the freshest water, you know, take the supplement and things like that. But if your still lifestyle is still out of control, you're really going to be pushing that rock up the hill all the time. And you're going to let go and it's going to roll right over you. So lifestyle changes start with behavioral thinking of the two things of why do I want to feel better? Like what's my why? And then how do I get there? And really stopping and retraining yourself. Like you guys were, all of you were talking about the busy mom who's taking the crumb of the, you know, grilled cheese off the plate because she didn't make herself something. Stopping yourself and saying, you know, how can I feed my soul? How can I feed my spirit? How can I feed my mind? Those are the things that are going to be getting you further down the line. So some of the things that I like to teach or at least expose my clients to is just being quiet, doing a body scan on a regular basis, even before you get out of bed. That's my favorite time of day to do any kind of mental mindfulness, meditation, breath work, whatever is before you get out of bed, because it's still warm and you don't really want to get out in the first place. But doing a body scan where you're kind of finding out where's the tension in my body before I even get up for the day. Where am I holding stress? Where is something hurting? Where is something, you know, feeling like any kind of sensation? And that's just somatic experiencing, working with your mind and your body connection. Having a breathing practice. And a lot of times people are like deep breathing, deep breathing, deep breathing. Find something that you can go to when you are in that stressful place or you do before you go into a stressful situation. I actually had my tooth pulled on Friday. And before I actually went into the dentist's office, I actually spent some time in the car breathing and calming myself down because I really didn't want to go have my tooth pulled. So having a routine is important. Getting a physical routine too, like having a routine in the morning of what do I do in the morning that's not picking up my phone, that's not, you know, stress provoking, that is just something for my body, for my soul, for my mind, even if it's affirmations and things like that. Some other things that might be helpful are dry brushing. So you want to think of yourself as how would you treat yourself if you were 5 years old? And what would you do to yourself? Wrap yourself up in a blanket, give yourself a nice hot mug of tea. But dry brushing is a way for you to work on just brushing your body with a nice soft brush before you head into the shower, or you can be in the shower and just don't turn it on and work on brushing off your skin. And it's great for your skin and circulation, but it's also bathing your nervous system in like self-care, and it's stimulating it so that it feels better. Essential oils. I talk about that on the podcast a lot, but I love my essential oils. I use them before I go to bed. I use them in stressful situations. There's all kinds of different ones that you can gravitate towards too, but you just need somebody to help you with that. And then when it comes to exercise, like Shannon was talking about and Michelle, exercise is great, but if you do too much of the wrong kind, like the cardio queens that are out there running 6 and 7 miles, or the people that are trying to run half marathons and marathons, props to you. But if you have an adrenal fatigue issue, that is not your friend. I actually had to tell one of my really good friends who was a marathoner, I'm like, you don't have the adrenal health right now to run a marathon. And she stepped out of it for a while, fortunately. So long cardio, and then consider doing a wearable. I talk about my Oura ring on the podcast a lot. It has helped me tune into my body and my markers. And anytime you have anything that you use, like an Apple Watch or a Fitbit, or I use a Apollo Neuro Bracelet, anything that's going to give you more information about real time, about what happened to my day. Did I have stress? How did I handle it? What was my sleep like? All of that kind of information is just for you to help you kind of refine your behavioral modifications and the changes that you make, because that's where you're going to get more results, is by changing your lifestyle and your behavior and rewiring how you approach situations, whether it's food or people or job. Rewiring that process in your body is going to help your adrenal gland heal.
Great info, Bobby. And you actually really answered mostly of the next question that I was going to ask as well. So, which was about, you know, mindfulness and meditation and things like that. I mean, I know for me, that's something, it's so hard to do, but you really just have to get to that point where it's a necessity. And once you start doing it, it's something that you just start craving, right? And I know for me, when it came to changing up lifestyle and it came to changing up schedules and what I was doing every day, even now I crave wanting to go out to the gym because I know what a release it is for me stress-wise, but I also know the damage that it can do if I'm not ready and I'm not willing to go back to how I was feeling. Like, it was so awful. As a mom, as a wife, like, you never want to be in that position where you just can't get out of bed. I mean, it's so defeating. And so, you know, I've had to find other options and doing things like wall exercises and yoga and understanding that those things are still going to build the muscle that I'm looking for, you know, and at the same time, I'm getting the benefit of staying calm and centering my mind and, you know, really focusing on me. And it's the hardest thing to do. Any mom knows that it's the hardest thing to do. So thank you for bringing that up. So for anyone else here, and Bobby, you included, of course, are there any specific habits or routines that might have personally helped you maintain optimal adrenal wellness? Michelle, I'm sure you have something to pop in about this as well.
Yeah, definitely. And to the point of what Bobby was saying about the exercise and what you were saying as well, that is literally the worst thing that you could be doing if you are concerned. So if an example would be is if you do a workout and then you take days to recover from that workout, that is a very big indication your adrenals need some support. So stretching, Pilates, walking, short HIIT workouts. If you are one that needs to get your heart rate up, like short 10 minute, no more than 15 minute HIIT workouts, and don't do those every day. But I've incorporated some modalities that Bobby mentioned, like dry brushing. I do the adrenal tonic that I need. Sometimes I will mix that up for myself and for my husband, and we'll do with that for a week or so. And then, you know, until I can tell that my adrenals are feeling, you know, more settled and feeling more nurtured. And when I was going through my adrenal fatigue, I created a specific playlist, you know, just of worship music that I listened to daily that really helped my nervous system. I would, when I would go on my walk, I would listen to that. I would not listen to anything that was going to cause more stress for me. So I would not listen to something I was trying to learn about, like a podcast or something, because I just really needed to keep the stress down as low as possible. And yeah, absolutely. The mind work is so vital. Bible reading, prayer, meditation, finding verses. And that's really become part of my life now, ever since I recovered from that, because it's just incredible when you set the stage, when you put the boundaries around your own health, and you were like, I will recover not only from this, but I will learn from it, right? Because we want to learn from what we go through. We don't want to go through it again. That it really makes all the difference in your whole health, body, soul, spirit.
I agree with that for sure. You know, some of the things that I've done even more recently have been cold bathing a couple of times a week, which has really helped me with breath work for sure. Because when you get into that cold water, all you want to do is hyperventilate, which I did for the first 4 or 5 times, you know, but now I'm able to get in there and start breathing and know, even doing, like, I know, Sarah, you've mentioned on a couple episodes previously about box breathing, right? And I've learned to take time and do box breathing when I first get in there, which then can lead me into just a regular deep breathing meditation type of exercises while I'm in there. And even though it's only, you know, I went from 3 minutes to now I'm like 8 minutes, right? And that's because I've been able to get myself into such a deep meditation that I literally have to have my husband tap me on the shoulder going like, you done yet? You know, and I don't recognize the cold until, you know, I get that, you know, tap on the shoulder, all of a sudden music that I'm listening to, a song ends, you know, and it's just something snaps me up. But it's been, my body has started craving that because I've gotten a lot of you know, good things coming from that. And that is something that helps with your vagus nerve as well. When you're doing cold bathing, it directly affects your vagus nerve, which affects your stress levels and your handling of stress, which then affects your adrenals. Also grounding. So if you're in a position where you are so fatigued that you can't get out and you can't go for a slow walk around the block or anything like that, getting outside and grounding, just putting your bare feet on the ground and standing there or sitting there with your feet touching the ground for 5 minutes, 10 minutes is still going to help you tremendously, even though you're not walking and moving, right? Like, it's that connection to the energetic field of the earth that helps to reset your body and helps with your neurotransmitters as well. So
I love that, Shannon. I think people need to hear that more about the outside and energy and the grounding.
Yes.
Because I think people think that, you know, it's all woo-woo stuff, and it's not. It's really,
it's
not.
Your body is, we learn in biology, or, you know, in high school, grade school, whatever, that our bodies are made up of 80% water, right? No one really talks about the fact that, yes, we're made up of water, but we're also made up of energy. Like, we have a disconnect of molecules, atoms, like, they're all made of energy, you know? And so to take time to reconnect to an energy source that you have literally at your fingertips, even like as an herbalist, I know, walking through the state forest and even just touching the trees, you know, and I'm going to sound like a hippie, you know, but it in woo woo. But when you touch, there is energy that you are transporting back and forth from the tree to yourself, from yourself to the tree, right? And it's the same thing as grounding. There is an electromagnetic field that runs through the earth and through all living things that are on the earth. And so when you're able to connect, it's literally a recharge. It's like plugging the charging cable for your phone into the wall when you do that. And the only way to see, you know, is it woo-woo or not, go do it. Take a week or two and set aside 10 minutes a day, every day, and do it, and then see how you feel. 9 tens out of 10, you're going to go, wow, it's the only thing I've changed this week, and I feel great.
You know. So well, that's why people feel amazing when they go to the beach, right? Yeah. You're walking barefoot. Yeah, yep. You're walking. That's the best example I give people when they are concerned about that. Because when you walk the beach, it is such a different reaction. You feel so much better. Your nervous system calms right down. So yeah, that's no different. And you don't have to go to the beach to do it.
Yeah. And then the point of that is all your nerve endings are in your feet. They collaborate in your feet. So when you're able to get those nerve endings to touch what it needs to be energetically recharged, it works specifically on your nervous system. So you know, I've always said that salt water, the ocean, is soul cleansing. I mean, like, and it really is. When you think about it, I mean, salt water in itself is something that can cleanse a lot of negative energy, you know? So when you walk into that ocean, it's just any negative energy that is in your body, it resets everything, you know? So, Michelle, do you have any resources that our listeners can kind of tap into besides, you know, doing the search on Dr. Google? That they can kind of tap in to learn some more about adrenal health before we close out.
Yeah, I'm not going to give an exhaustive list, but this is my absolute favorite. It's called Adrenal Fatigue, the 21st Century Stress Syndrome. And make no mistake, it is a syndrome and it needs to be talked about more as we have discussed today. So that is by Dr. James L. Wilson. And I definitely recommend that you, if you are listening to us and you are like, absolutely, this is me, go ahead and get this book. There's a test in there, a questionnaire that you can look at and determine, you know, how severe, how much your adrenals need some support and some other great helps. Take it in small chunks though. This is not a book that you can just read and front, you know, cover to cover and know everything that you need to know. No, it takes a lot of time. There's a lot of introspection as you're going through this book, a lot of journaling your emotions through the process. And of course, you have us that you can seek out as well.
That's a really good resource, Michelle.
It is. And there has a lot of, I would definitely encourage somebody to pick up the physical book of it because there's a lot of illustrations throughout the book as well to help you connect visually what he's talking about. So it's one of my favorite resources. All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us on this episode about adrenal health. As always, we want to leave you with a North Star tip. Our North Star tip is to pay attention to the stressors in your life and the support that you are or are not giving your adrenals, okay? We hope that this episode today has helped you understand how important your adrenals are and how the stressors in your life can affect them and have that trickle-down effect on your health and how you can take some steps to lower your stress. As always, we would love for you to give us any feedback, you know, subscribe to the podcast. If this is your first time listening and you just kind of picked this episode, subscribe to the podcast so you get our notifications. You can also find us on social media, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, things like that. So reach out to us. You can connect us through our websites, which are in the notes below, as well as sending us emails or anything like that. So we hope you all have a wonderful week and stay well.